Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Remember the chain letters that you'd forward,
right.
Forward.
Yeah, for good luck. Yeah.
They're forwarding emojis of crying Virgin Marys on toast to each other all day long with little prayers, thinking it's okay. But you best believe that my mom's phone has some sort of malware on it as we speak.
She's being hounded by the worst Catholics.
Well, speaking of legitimate fundraisers, if you don't hit it that far, as far as the ladies did, you know what you're supposed to do?
What? I don't know.
Play the rest of the hole with your wiener hanging out.
Really?
It's
that rule was invented by Arnold Palmer.
That would affect your swing, though.
Yes, it
Not
would.
Mine.
Not mine.
Oh, I heard a massive yellow laugh. Oh, my God.
Rarer than hen's teeth, they are.
Wow. All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I thought it was a good joke.
It's a great joke.
It's an old man's joke.
You know what it is? Joke. I would qualify that as a golf course joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now the joke that I told last year, that I told you guys about the three women on the beach.
Yes, I remember.
You're about to be when the tide comes in.
Yeah.
That's the punchline.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy tells a joke to me yesterday. He said, I got another good one for you. And this one, you know, you're old and the guy's looking at you in the eye and you're the one that told him the joke originally.
Really?
But it's commonplace. It's completely accepted, especially from guys that tell jokes all the time.
Like what it's part of an oral history. It's how jokes live on. They're not always written down.
Speaking of oral history, that was the last joke I was
doing. Yes, yes.
It's true. It's so true.
I always, I guess, because my parents aren't funny and
you don't laugh at jokes.
They don't make jokes. That much, so it's not. My dad tries to make a joke. He doesn't tell.
You've
a joke
got a great
well.
Sense of humor, but you don't laugh at jokes.
No,
you don't
no,
like
no.
Jokes.
Well, I don't like
shtick.
I don't. How would I put it? Without insulting Mike, how do I say this? I don't like jokes that aren't appropriate in the workplace. That's the best place.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. That'll
well,
be
cause
good. Mike, I don't like, how do I say this? I don't like podcasting or electricity or computers.
Well, you know, his other show is, you call it the No Shtick Zone.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
A No Shtick Zone. And so what it is a...
My worlds are colliding.
Inside
My
lines colliding. That everybody knows in a very small group zone.
Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram
is?
Do you sometimes. Know what a Venn diagram is?
I love the Big O and Duke show. I love the big.
There's
I'm
a lot
not gonna,
of inside. Yeah. A lot of inside.
Well, there's too much inside, in my
opinion.
Well,
we've actually talked about it on the show. We're like, if you don't know that, like, we have gone as far as talking about and starting a tab and never was finished. Headshots were taken. It's a story of our lives. Of the characters, so you could refer to characters.
Oh, like a chart.
We talk about other people so much.
But I will give you guys credit.
Which is the beauty
that.
Of the program.
I will give
when
you guys
I, when
credit.
I know the people, when I know the people, I get caught up in it.
When
like
you
that.
Are, feel that you are part of an inside joke, and that's what comes with years of listening,
yes.
The joke becomes rarer and funnier.
That's how I got into the Junkies.
Yeah.
Because I remember listening to the Junkies for the very first time. Look, you're talking to a guy who grew up listening to alt-rock radio and not talk radio.
Right, because you're cool, right?
No, because I didn't know any better. My parents didn't throw anything on except for WTOP and then let us use the radio once in a while.
WTOP, your home for alt-rock.
Yeah, no, it was it was news and weather, and we thought our dad was boring. And
here comes Screwdriver. I'm Neil Augustine.
And then all of a sudden, I'm driving... in the car to WVU, and we're listening to the Junkies when they're on at night.
Right.
And I was like, who the F are these guys? Right. And it was Cakes talking about working at Toys R Us and still doing the night show. And I was like, this guy's the manager of Toys R Us, and then he goes and does a radio show? How the hell is that working out?
Mm-hmm.
And kept us company all the way to Breezewood. And I was like, I like talk radio. This is crazy.
nuts.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons we listen to comedy all the way down to Florida is because it makes the time go by.
Yes.
And one of the reasons people stack this show for, you know, 8-hour drives is because, you know, it keeps them company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. But as you were talking, I was reflecting on down here in Cocoonville.
Right.
And Midwestern Cocoonville, where the joke they love.
Indiana South, Mike.
That I've been told like 11 times now that is so inappropriate that I can't share it with you here. And they just love it because it's got all the elements.
Can you even give the punchline without it being inappropriate?
I can give the two elements. It involves the Kardashians.
Right.
And a golf ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm certain that this joke has existed in other iterations for many years.
Oh, of course it has.
Yeah, of course it has. Yeah.
It's been upgraded.
But they love the zeal that it's like, is one of the issues that I have.
So,
now
but here. Golf course, like, or golf jokes in general are, I think, for eternal history have been, I've been told.
Off color?
Yeah, off color.
That's a great
racist
word for it.
Right?
You know, so let me give you, I'll give you a non-racist golf joke.
Okay.
But it's misogynistic. But it's misogynistic. So it's always at someone's expense.
Off color is, I guess, the best way to say that it never really was something you could talk about or say at work with no random.
Well, I would say not even just work. I would say off color indicates that the joke for some reason does not play in all environments.
It's not just so it's not just racial.
Right, right. It could be anything.
So there's a golfer.
Right.
So there's a golfer and he has his regular Saturday foursome. And this guy is all business. He doesn't pay attention to anybody else. He doesn't engage anybody else in conversation, and he doesn't because he likes to play fast. He likes to get his rounds over. Fast. And and so he's playing golf with his buddies, and he's an old guy. He's been at it a long time, and he rarely says anything. And they finally get to the 17th green. And the 17th green is a hole that is right next to the main drag, the main route that goes through town. And they're sitting there, and the guy, you know, is just playing his usual fast round. And suddenly, a funeral procession goes by, and they're on the left, and the guy stops. Like right in the middle of his putt, he stops and he takes off his hat and he waits till the last car, the hearse of the funeral procession, goes by first. But he waits till the last car goes by. This is like 11 minutes, large, huge procession. And one of his playing partners is just stunned by this. And he said, let me ask you a question. Why would you possibly stop in the middle of playing one of the fastest players? You never pay attention to anything and take your hat off and watch that funeral procession go by. And he says, well, I should. I was married to her for 18 years. Bada bing, bada boom.
See?
Look, he
big
liked
win.
That one.
Big win.
He liked that. That's
you did. You know what? Yeah, you told it great, though. It's a good
telling joke.
It was great.
Friday.
It was great. It was
on
great.
On the Mike O'Mara show. But
there are, I don't think you said anything inappropriate.
Rob, you knew the punchline late when I started, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did
yeah,
you know?
Of course.
I had not heard that joke.
Yeah.
There are times that. I will tell. I would say some older folks in my life in a very kind and willing way, including I would say neighbors of mine or people in my life that say certain things adjectives at times, use certain adjectives or verbs, and I'll say, hey,
nouns are usually the trouble.
I say, I don't think that word. Actually, I know that word isn't used anymore to describe that, and they're like, you're probably right. And then there's this awkward silence of, am I mad at them or not? But I'd rather help than hurt. That's all I know.
That Kardashian joke?
Yes.
I'm one more effer away from telling it to me. And if that, I'm just going to be like, okay, enough.
I'm curious.
And I don't even like the Kardashians.
I'm curious. And I said it earlier, Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram is?
I do.
Okay. So I would say that the Venn diagram, the overlap.
Please explain to me what a Venn diagram is.
A Venn diagram is a
food pyramid.
No, it's not. It is a graph of circles. And like for our show, the representation would be a Mike circle, a Rob circle.
Like a mobile.
And it's not. An Oscar circle. And what overlaps, say, you put
was
the circles together.
Was it created by Porter Venn? TMOS listener Porter van?
Ooh, I'm pretty sure it was.
Deep cut.
Okay. So like where my circle overlaps with your circle, it would be stuff that we share in common. And right. like where the circles trisect would be stuff that we all share.
Yes.
Say our love of family would be something that our Venn diagram is shared right for all of us.
Three pies.
Yeah.
But you can tell a joke. I tell jokes. But in Oscar's diagram, I'm curious. You deal with people. You do business things. You talk to clients. You go out. You glad hand. You do things.
Yes.
Do you have any jokes in your arsenal if you're called upon?
I am not the joke
I understand, but just as a guy that would be prepared.
I would say on the show as well. On all the shows I work on.
No, but do you have like a simple, I won't say a golf course joke, but just like a simple storytelling joke that you have in your arsenal?
A horrific joke.
Is it one that would play here?
I would say what Mike did before the show was so, it was baby powder compared to the napalm that I threw down.
Right.
And had a bad experience with when someone had to say, hey, I didn't think that was funny.
Oh,
that was actually racist.
You didn't know you were
that
right.
I didn't know I was, that I didn't know I was being, like, I just didn't know.
Totally
inappropriate. And not even towards African-Americans. It was like, I think the punchline has to do with, I would say, Native Americans. But it wasn't even a punchline. But it stopped in my tracks.
Right.
They're like, and I might have been, I would say, 20 years old. Stopped in my tracks and said, that's not funny. That's completely not inappropriate, but
you should have
off color.
One clean joke in your arsenal, just in case.
I think of all the jokes written, men with no arms and no legs probably have been the recipient of more jokes than they need
and
to
I can
be.
Think of one of the shortest ones, and the punchline is, hello, my name is Matt.
Okay.
I can break balls with the best of them, but I don't have.
Like, here's what you bring.
Yeah,
you're, and we didn't, and Rob and I don't sit here and tell jokes.
No.
We all tell stories, but your contribution is you bring when something really horrible happens. Not the foreign effect at all. I don't think of you
the
as the foreign effect. You're not. You're not really Bolivian in my eyes.
Not even human in my eyes.
I mean, you're not like, you know, it's like you come from
an Android.
But that's about it. You are, and you'll be happy to hear this, Oscar.
Foreign parts.
I consider you fully assimilated.
Oh, thank you,
there
Mike.
You go.
Yes.
But you
American
bring,
me.
You bring these soul-bearing, tragic stories, tragic tales. That's your thing.
Hell of a storyteller. Absolutely.
Rob is Captain Shtick, where in the middle of the show, he'll have the one-liners and he'll write brilliant stuff and then I just tell stories basically that's kind of what I do
we all
and then
go I do in different an and that's one of the reasons why this show works so well
the show is fantastic. We're just talking about our interpersonal dynamics
right.
Yesterday there is what I think was a fantastic inside joke that's had here on the show that I can't talk about on air at all.
Damn it. We're frustrating our listeners because there's so much we can't
but I can tell
say
you,
on the air
I can tell you later. But
I bet it's. Let me just tell a joke because the listeners are going to feel cheated.
They are.
Okay?
You just cheated us.
What do blondes say after sex?
What's that?
You guys all play for the same team. Thank you very much.
I stewed on this joke or this inside joke that that Rob and someone else was having.
Since I'm out of the loop on this, can you give me the principles you're talking about?
It would be scorched earth if I said that.
Yeah, I can't reveal my co-conspirator.
I can't. But you and I.
But people would be super pissed.
Look at my eyes. When I tell you, I'll tell you after the show. And I found out the inside joke, and I didn't reprimand, but I said, hey, not the place for this.
I believe the phrase was, Rob, don't be a mean girl.
Yes. And then.
And I said, Oscar, you're right.
And then I said, he doesn't know, I stewed on this I would say this morning, last night, today, where I was like,
It upset you that much?
It upset me that much.
Or you were worried about it that much?
I'm not worried about it. It concerned me enough to know that I need to talk to Rob again after the show. Because. What he is creating is a negative dynamic.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Right.
No, it's a celebration of people.
Rob and I have worked together for an amazing. What was that? I heard something.
That was that was a successful man in a Maserati driving by this. The
wow,
studio.
Yes. That was that.
No, I believe that was a Kia Stinger.
Rob and I have worked together a long time.
Yes,
yes.
Rob and I have worked together for a very, very long time. So I know where, and Rob knows where my bones are buried. I know where his bones are buried. Would it be safe to say that in a previous life you had a bond with a coworker that was solely, as far as comedy concerned, was almost exclusively based on one type of humor?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Right.
And I would say that's that also both I and that other co-conspirator were very good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
and to be clear, you know, this
and it's
was
not healthy. It's not
be,
a good thing.
To be clear, no, no, Rob's
it
infraction.
Me. It annoyed me.
Well, I wouldn't say infraction. I would say misstep. Was not racial, was not cruel.
I didn't say racial.
Yes,
no,
yes,
no.
Yeah. But for me, it felt like if you are a true friend and a true businessman, you should discuss this with your friend again so they know that they're clear about what you feel like is appropriate and not appropriate.
Exactly. Crystal clarity is what we require.
Wow. It sounds like we're very close to the inner circle here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Venn diagram.
That's amazing.
Right. Do you
May
know-
I tell you a golf joke, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
So a guy is teeing up to hit, and the starter, you know, the starter sometimes has a microphone and a PA to make sure.
Or a gun. They goes. Psh.
Well, they seldom have a gun because it's very noisy.
That's the starter for a race.
Oh, excuse me.
And the starter says, "Well, the gentleman on the first tee, please play from the men's portion of the team. The what is it? The bull.
The men's team.
The men's team. Please play from the men's team.
Why was he at the ladies?
He was at the ladies' team. And so he's continuing to address the ball. And the starter says, "Excuse me, will the gentleman at the first hole play from the men's tee?" And the guy just totally disregards him, not even paying attention. And the starter says, "Hey, you in the blue shirt and the white pants. Would you please play from the men's tee?" And he turns and he yells, "Would you please let me take my second shot?"
Bada bing, bada boom. See, the first shot Oscar didn't go past the ladies' team.
Yeah.
And there
do you
both know the rule, the joke? It's a joke rule.
What is that?
If you don't hit it as far as the golf's a weird game. If you don't hit it that far as the ladies' team, do you know what you're supposed to do?
What?
I don't know.
Play the rest of the hole with your wiener hanging out.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't happen. It's just
that rule
known.
Was invented by Arnold Palmer
during his gay phase.
That's right. But you know, you say golf is a funny game. I think that's why there are so many golf jokes. Is that
right?
The game has such
that would affect your swing, though.
Yes, it
not
would.
Mine.
Not mine.
Oh, I heard a massive laugh. Oh my God.
Rarer than hen's teeth, they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But the game has so much pageantry and honor that it gives itself.
Right.
That's why it's such a great that's why Caddyshack is a great movie. Because it takes a game that really takes itself seriously.
Okay, but I give you a gentleman who is a joke teller. He has thousands. I think he was in some customer relations field. He had to be.
That's what he does, right? Yeah.
Because he's a old school guy, kind of a corporate guy, and he's funny. And he just tells good jokes, and he's just pleasant to be around. And he had a change in meds that caused him to really like dehydrate, overheat, get dizzy.
Oh no!
He was in really rough shape. So much so that last week. They pulled the ambulance up and you know, people down here, my generation, you know, which is not the greatest generation where, you know, there were more starers that were just like, and they're all like looking and, you know, very few people were coming up and say, "Hey, I hope you do okay."
Like you might not be the greatest, but I think you're top five generation.
It's like I went in and again, top five. Thank you very much. That covers like John Adams.
John Adams.
That's good. So I go by and I said, Greg, I hope you're okay. And he didn't even acknowledge. So I was worried about him. Lost all his color. And this is legit. And they took him. And then like a day later, he was back out. And I'm like, oh, thank God. But you don't get updates on it's just that's the way people are. It's like, well, I don't know. You knew it.
Okay.
Hold on. So this guy is, we're very different politically. He knows that. He acknowledges that in a very funny way. And we have lots of conversations together. And so I see him the other day, and I said, how you doing? And he said, hey, they ran some tests. It turns out I'm on this heart medicine that they said that was probably the reason. They gave me thorough scans. Everything was fine. I said, well, it is great to see you. And his line was, well, you know, Mike, it's always better to be seen than viewed.
That is
better
true.
To be seen than viewed.
That's great. That's great.
Is perfect. I laughed my ass off about that.
Works
one.
Anywhere.
It does.
Oh, that's yes. good. Yeah. Yeah.
That He's works a anywhere.
Good guy. Is He's there a very, very good guy.
Because the green is so, I guess, you don't want to mess up the green on a golf course.
Very delicate area. That's the area you don't want to mess with.
Like, I've been yelled at many a times for taking the golf cart onto the green.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. Like it happens.
You mallet head. What are you doing? Well, you play in those like charity tournaments,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so everybody's hammered.
Where everybody's had like 11 beers before they
especially
even
especially when we were in Arizona, I must have played at least 6 or 7 of them because they just send a DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to put this golf cart on the green.
I can't even see the ball. I am so incredibly wasted.
They say to you, no one ever rides on the green. And,
right.
And I'm like,
no, I mean, you don't even ride near the green.
Right.
I don't know half of these.
I'm
26 and 27. I'm with other DJs. We're just DJs, right?
Why do you think they make a cart path? Use the cart path.
Might have been 25. Don't know. Was making all the wrong decisions.
Right. Hey, man, I don't play I don't play golf. I play the field, man. Ooh, yeah. I'm a DEEJAY. Yeah. Ooh.
But it also probably has a lot to do with the fact that at that point, Hooters in Arizona was sponsoring a lot of these charity golf tournaments.
Right.
And they always would put a Hooters girl in your cart with you. So I'm sure all the guys are like, what's
wow,
this?
That, I never do played what you want, right?
Living
That's
or dead?
Pretty good.
Living. So I want a picture. If there's any EMS and that type of reaction on the course, is there a special cart that comes and picks up a friend that does not ruin the green? Or do you drive the person back to the clubhouse?
No, you never can drive on the green, ever.
No, there's not a special car. They mow the greens, and they have equipment that maintains the green.
Yeah. Great guy, ever, by the way. Mow green.
Mow green. Hey, Mike. No. You don't take over me. I take over you.
You don't drive over me.
That's right. I'm Mo Green. I made my bones when you were in diapers.
Terrible question. Yes. I retract it.
I can't believe your lack of knowledge
and
on that,
disrespect, you know, to the game of
golf.
Yes,
and to grass.
And then the other is when you all were DJs and CDs were viable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When you played music, did you have and this is a full pivot, but it comes full circle. Did you have to set up the music for the next hour or the next shift of the DJ coming in for you after you?
It was courtesy.
It was courtesy,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you would stack the hour or 2 hours or 4 hours of music that was ready
and
to
even
go.
When we go back to the Don and Mike show, when we weren't playing music per se, I would always stack out the spots for the next person.
But
the commercials. You set up the next hour for the person as a courtesy.
It was a nonverbal. Like,
right, it's
this
understood.
This is the S you do,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Liddy never did it for us.
I was explaining
that. Well, that was Liddy's producer's fault.
That's true. And that's odd.
Who was, very strange that man would not be industrious.
Over the top.
Yeah, but
manual labor.
Manual labor.
When you're in the music world, did you ever have to do that, Mike? Get the records ready for the next hour, the next shift?
Yes.
Okay.
More the spots than the rest. But usually, I remember stacking tape cartridges for the next guy.
Yeah.
I remember doing that.
So
I remember having to do that, and that was kind of what you were supposed
after
to do.
After almost 3 years of marriage, this morning, Shannon asked me how I know all these songs from, I would say, the late 90s, early 2000s, not just because I lived them, but what the songs are called.
Right.
And I said, because
artist and title.
Yeah. Because when you're on the rate, when you're a baby DJ, half your time is spent like stacking the artist and title and finding where on the CD, when the CDs were viable, what track number, everything.
You actually have a visual representation in your head. Yes. I remember
and
stuff.
And she's like, why would you have to do some other, like another person's work for them? I said, it's not a lot of work. You're just pulling CDs off a wall or
she's like, wondering why someone has to do someone else's work. She's worked with Pony for a long time. She doesn't understand this?
But she was so lost in her and like out of the world of like how music used to work, because it wasn't always Spotify and Apple Music or podcasts, that I said to myself, this is not even worth explaining. I imagine, Mike, you feel that way when I just said, is there an ambulance cart that comes out and picks up someone the actual
simply grade? Because, you know, because the grains are sacred. As far as our playing field, that's what's sacred. And I've been at multiple courses where people took stuff out on like late at night and vandalized greens. It's one of the things that you do that. And one of the worst things you can do on a golf course is if you are driving the golf cart close to the green, and like you'll see it, because there are people that still do it down here. Like, look at that guy, and you'll see a cart 2 feet off the green driving around, you know, where he shouldn't be. So that's it. That's all. But I mean, you're not supposed to.
Why is the cart path so thin? Like just a one
cart. It's on keto.
Okay. Thank you.
Speaking of keto, I have a keto update today.
Oh, good.
We have to get to that. How about I end with, would you like to hear my Mexican golf joke?
Oh, sure. Why not? And this is safe harbor at this point, Mike, because I'm almost Mexican.
That's right.
But I will tell you, this is
I'm your Robin Quivers.
I enjoyed the, I was married to her. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, me. I can be inappropriate.
But now you have to say, what are you doing?
Rob Spiewak will chuckle at
Howard.
This, but it is a horrible joke.
Okay,
it's one of the worst jokes I've ever heard. Right. Two Mexican detectives were investigating the murder of Juan Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. How was he killed? Asked one detective. With a golf gun, the other detective replied. A golf gun? What's a golf gun? Said, I don't know for sure, but it made a hole in one. Oh my God. Yes, that's how I start the show. I'm an a-hole.
The Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We're going to divide up into four parties. And we'll hit all the farms and the trails to make a big circle. And are we bound to come across somebody who's seen these skunks?
Who's the fella who owns this hole? You, fat man. Speak up.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir.
Just hold it right there. Hold it!
Decorate his saloon.
Well, sir, you are a cowardly son of a bitch. You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
You'd be William Money out of Missouri. Killer of women and children.
That's right. I've killed women and children. Killed just about everything that walks or crawls at one time or another. And I'm here to kill you, little Bill. For what you did to Ned. You boys better move away.
All right, gentlemen. He's got one barrel left. When he fires that, take out your pistols and shoot him down like a mangy scoundrel he is.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
When I was watching for clips yesterday of Unforgiven, you know what's so great in that scene?
What's that?
The timing of the thunder during the dialogue. Brilliant. Right. Really good.
You got the best clip. I think that's the definitive best clip in Unforgiven, which really... I know, didn't it win an Academy Award? I know it won at least one Academy Award. Yeah. It might have won Best Picture. But I'm not a big fan of that movie, but I do love that scene. And like all really good movies, whether you love them or not, they kind of grow on you. So
it made me miss Gene Hackman, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, what a shame. But Gene Hackman be in his 80s
still
right
alive,
now.
Yeah, still alive, just tired from acting.
Choosing not to work.
Yeah, he retired. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are glad to have you along today on our fabulous Fun Friday show. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Atisco Lake, New York, South Bend. I hope it's not Atisco.
I think it's Atisco.
Well, you know what? Upstate New York has strange pronunciations,
yeah.
And I just have that hunch, but I'll Seneca say Falls.
Is it Buffalo or Buffalo? How is it, Maddie?
Well, for example, Lake there George. Is a... I went to a wedding one time in Pulaski, New York.
Pulaski.
Pulaski. That's how they
pronounce it. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also another great New York town, Skaneateles.
Skaneateles, right?
Yeah.
Where I went to another wedding up there. But there's nothing. Ithaca is, you know, pronounced the way it sounds. And but what's the major university? There are two major universities in Ithaca.
SUNY.
What's it's an Ivy League school.
That
name
would be,
the school.
Oh God. Oh,
come on now.
Oh,
you're
Arizona the, you're State.
The, no, it's one of the best hotel schools in the world. It's Ithaca and it's,
he got it.
It starts with a C.
Is it Cambridge?
Yes, it does. Yes, you're getting there. Yeah, you're getting
it's not
there.
Cambridge. It's,
no, you're getting, you're close. You're, I'll give you,
give me another.
Bill Maher went there, I believe.
God, Cornell.
Cornell!
Ah,
way to go!
There you go.
Did
very
you know
nice.
I attended a leadership conference at Cornell and Ithaca my freshman year of college?
Did you really?
Yes.
So you went all the way up to Ithaca College.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to the list of schools I didn't get into. South Bend, Indiana, Somerset, Ohio, Sherman Oaks, California, Cordoba, Spain. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. If your goal for 2020 is to buy a home, listen up. 2020's housing affordability is at a record high. As of right now, it is actually cheaper to buy a home than it is to rent. You hear that? Buy this house.
I like
here's
when
some facts.
Mike, your asides have that little extra reverb that makes it fun.
Well, house is empty. Ready for a new owner.
A little pep talk.
Yes.
With historically low interest rates and low down payment options, experts say it is currently 30% cheaper to buy a home than throw your money away on rental payments.
I am not able to sustain two homes for any significant length of time.
Furthermore, with the limited inventory, experts are predicting the spring housing market will start within a month.
Well, I hope it starts here. I really do.
Cornerstone has nothing to do with my personal situation. That's my disclaimer for this commercial. You need to work with the experts at Cornerstone First Financial, whether you want to
purchase a house.
A what?
A house.
You need to do that. Work with them. They're good people. Or if you want to refi, too. Call my friend Mark Livingstone, who has all the programs. That's all. Plus, with his low rate guarantee, you can't go wrong. They carry my personal endorsement. I'm Mike O'Mara,
and I am living in an empty house that's waiting for someone to buy it. That's all. Yeah.
Call 202-625-1221. Somebody PM'd me and asked for Cornerstone's number yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Told him to go to the website. I didn't have the number in front of me, so I said, we have a link. Do we have a link on MichaelMaraShow.com?
Absolutely, yeah. There's
a button right there.
202, what?
There's a button right there.
202-625-1221, or check out the web at cornerstonefirst.com.
Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. They help you with your financing, but I wish they helped me sell my house, which they don't do. That is not their business. Their business is financing. What I need is someone that can come down here and sell this bad boy.
What about this, Mike? What if you're on the bubble about buying a house? They should call Cornerstone and then buy your house, because Cornerstone makes it easy.
Call Cornerstone and buy my house.
I think someone's better with the echo.
I love the echo. Do you ever miss? Oh no, here he goes. Kill the music.
He's in a bigger house that's so empty. He don't have no buyer.
Will you entertain a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you came up into the big leagues, you were on a radio station that had a legendary amount of reverb on it, WAVA.
Yes, it did.
The DJ had the mic chain was a huge echo chamber. Then when you went to WJFK, they didn't have echo on the air. I misspeak, not echo, reverb. They didn't have reverb on the air.
Reverb on your board right there if you'd like.
But do you miss hearing it? Because you had it in your headphones.
Can I do it on mine?
Same as yours?
Yeah.
How do I do it?
It's a send, right?
No. There's a setting with effects.
I think I'm not going to do it now. It would stop the show.
It would stop the show.
It would. We would experiment at another time. But do you ever miss it?
So what was your question?
Do you ever miss it?
When we made the transition, it was an adjustment period because you're used to that big reverb, and it makes you feel bigger than life.
It's a wonderful effect. It's fun to talk on it. Yeah,
it was strange. I don't, looking back, I listened to it, and it sounds a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It really sounds kind of, but it had, a lot of radio stations did it, WABC, with the great DJs like George Michael and Ron Lundy and Dan Ingram. They all had that big, that's what it came from. It came from the top 40 old-time radio
days. As a matter
days,
of fact,
kept it.
I found out later through some engineers at WJFK, the big top 40 station in Washington, D.C. in the 60s was WPGC.
Right.
And the reverb unit that they used on WAVA was actually the same one they bought from WPGC.
This is pre-digital where you needed a piece of hardware.
Analog, baby.
Is somebody like texting you? What's
I was actually
on?
Texting Pony if he could turn on the reverb from the board, the console he's in front of. Just to see if that could work.
And then
I saw the response, and we feel the same. We're on the same page.
Yeah, so, what did he say?
It was just, he didn't look like it was, you know how some people have a position of confidence?
Sure.
He has the opposite.
Right.
So I said,
exactly.
We're good to go. Oh, look at that. Oh, no.
No, he probably needs to have some sense.
I have another question, Mike, about real estate, if you don't mind. I got a call yesterday that I was really a dick to for some reason. I don't even know why I felt this way. I got a call asking me if someone asked me that they're from an ex realtor. Realty company saying, are you ready to sell your house in Georgetown?
You got a cold call for real estate.
Yes, but I've never had anything of this happen before.
Are you ready?
I thought it was somebody that was pranking me because of the experience I've had with my home. And I said to him, where'd you get this number? He's like, if we got you the right price, are you ready to sell? And I said, "What? I've never had this type of call. What's happening right now?" He said, sir, you're ready to sell your house, correct? And I said, never call this number again. Hung up.
Well, it's weird, right? Because
it's
you're
weird.
Not actively looking for it. And
well,
you're
I see
one of those
that is,
companies.
That's one of those things where they're probably paying a guy a minuscule amount of money to make those calls. And if he converts, he probably gets a bonus. But he's cold calling.
He probably only gets a bonus if they sell the house.
But I would think that maybe, if he gets one fish on 100 hooks, that's a successful day.
He gets maybe 25 bucks or something.
I've never sent, I've never received a call. It almost felt like I was being trolled. This is on the heels of, or hacked, on the heels of getting, receiving, and this just broke yesterday on the news, but I thought it was weird when it first happened. I received a text message from what said it was from FedEx saying, hey mate, your FedEx package is ready to be received. Please track the package here with a link on my personal
all
text.
Right. Sounds legit.
Did it really say mate?
Mate.
Okay, that's a problem.
So
yeah, see, that would make me feel weird. What was it?
I did not click through because I said this is a problem because mate is not used in any business jargon in my life.
If it was mate, it probably was a koala bear.
But it would just seem to me that they're getting you to click on the link to infect your computer or something like that.
What I saw on the news last night was you clicked through that, and trust me, I would have fallen for this except for I'm hyper vigilant. I'm sure I've fallen for 10 other things before.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I looked and I showed Shannon. I said, if you get something like this, don't click on it. Like we can get packages all day. They'll call you if there's an issue. Turns out that this link is meant, it's malicious, not just spyware, but it also, it's meant to get all your personal information.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine that?
God, I mean, you know, it seems to me that at a certain point, with all these companies that make money, like LifeLock and Norton and all these companies that they've got to up their game, where there's got to be a way where they just say enough. But I think as long as it's different the on a world phone, wide web, you I know, think it's going
to
be difficult.
What's weird is the web is now so connected to your phone.
These are computers that we're carrying around.
Yeah, and no one has a landline anymore. So everyone's, all of your data is in your hand.
Like my mom and her WhatsApp her application, she talks to my father when he leaves town because he's so cheap he won't pay for a long distance call. I say, Mom, WhatsApp is riddled with hers especially, with these little Virgen de Guadalupe, like shimmery stickers. They're all...
Does that mean the Virgin of Guadalupe?
Oh, they're all viruses.
And I said, this is all malware. And she goes, malware. I said, mal, bad.
Mal, which is bad. Bad.
I said, malware, you know, malo. And right. She said... Pero es la Virgen de Guadalupe. Mira con rosas, with roses. And I
mal
said,
mal is bad, mas is more.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And she said,
bueno means good.
Pero mis amiguitas me mandan esto. I said, you all are rubes. Call me when your bank account gets drained. And wow. Because these old ladies, remember the chain letters that you'd forward, right. Forward.
Yeah, for good luck. Yeah.
They're forwarding emojis of crying Virgin Marys on toast to each other all day long with little prayers, thinking it's okay. But you best believe that my mom's phone has some sort of malware on it as we speak.
She's being hounded by the worst Catholics.
Well, speaking of legitimate fundraisers, I have to say a shout out to the TMOS family on Facebook yesterday. My son is doing a fundraiser at his school. At his elementary school, his very first one for the American Heart Association, and within hours, he reached his goal of $1,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
The American Heart Association, and it is just so... He went to sleep last night so excited because they get these little rubber bracelets when they raise a certain amount of money. Then they get another charm to put on it, then another charm, then another charm. And I'm not even sure what it was, but he was all, I said, you know, Michael, we're not doing this to get a little charm on your bracelet or, you know, whatever you're doing this because these kids have heart problems and this raises money for them. And he completely got it. And then it said, he said, well, I really hope we raise the money. And I said, well, I'm going to put it on my page and I think you're going to be very surprised.
That's awesome.
And he went to bed just short of his goal, woke up in the morning where he's leading the school thanks to the amazing, incredible listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Best.
Who give all the time. And I just think that I was trying to analyze it from all different sides. I just think it's just such a positive for him. It's such a positive that he was able to do this. And really, thank you to everybody that did that. Yep. Went to sleep, all excited. Got
That's
up this
great.
Morning. I hear him at 5:30. I hear, Dad's computer's dead. I tried to put that code in, but it didn't work. Aww. I'm like, what? What's going on? what? Like that? And there he was with $300 over his
goal. Oh, that's
goal.
So
that's
great.
So sweet.
Just amazing.
He's six now, right?
Yeah, he's 6 years
old. The very fact that a six-year-old is so concerned about giving back and feeling that love, that's important.
Let's be honest. I think it started with all the little bells and whistles, but then I transferred it to helping out these kids with heart difficulties, and then the Spirit of O'Mara competition, when he was aware that there was his teacher at the top of the list with his name next to Miss Sanford. I was
it's
thrilled.
It's
so,
cute
it's
now.
We got to beat Miss Sanford.
Until the morning, I would say maybe...
Miss Sanford's his teacher.
Six or seven years from now when he's at your bed at 5:30 in the morning and he's he's telling your mom, Carla, his mom, Daddy's private code's working, but it's on private browsing. Something weird's on the screen. It's scaring me and confusing me.
That's when Carla says, is it a shimmering picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe?
No, it's not. It's a shimmering picture of Nicole Aniston. Thank you very much. We have to take a break.
I can't believe he has a code to your computer.
Well, he doesn't. Yeah, that's why he wasn't able to get in. Speaking of some inside business of the show, which we may or may not have been doing, Paulie Christine was on the show earlier this week. Had some very choice words about Jim Amato. Mm. And Oscar had a conversation with Mr. Amato. And we will get an update on the inner workings of the Mike O'Mara Show fan club when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Hello, this is Bernie Sanders talking to you about the shopping center at TMOS. You got the Target.com, Macy's.com, and my favorite, Walmart.com, where I go every month to buy new sneakers. I buy my sneakers at Walmart.com through the TMOS website. It's marvelous. You'll love it. And you're stimulating the economy, and you're getting health care for everyone. All right, I know they're not related, but just remember this. TMOS Shopping Center, Walmart, Bernie Sanders, sneakers. Are we clear? Thank you, and good evening.
Thank you, Bernie.
You constructed that like one of his real speeches, where at the end he just starts listing things.
Yes, he's a big lister. Welcome back to the show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Hey, let's think about the future of your past. Is your family's legacy digitally preserved so it can be passed down for generations to come? Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your home movies and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. You just go online and purchase the box that you need. You'll get a Legacy Box kit, and you'll fill it with all your media. Slap on the prepaid mailing label and send it back. In a couple of weeks, you'll get all your originals back, plus perfectly preserved digital copies ready to watch, share, and relive. Over 750,000 families, including me, Oscar, and Rob, have trusted Legacy Box. You should, too. Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer and send it in when you're ready. Save your time and memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40% while supplies last. Wonderful company. Great. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so Paulie Christine comes on the show, explains that he gets his money because his wife is a breadwinner and he's a breadwinner and he's been a city employee for like 30 years and that's how he gets to go on these wonderful beach vacations.
Never clarified the family ties, quote unquote.
No. Didn't really want to go there. I was comfortable with avoiding that subject, so I will not bring that up again.
Didn't even mention how his wife wins the bread.
This is, that's true. Oh, yeah. No, didn't he say that she...
I think she worked for Lufthansa.
I didn't get that.
I'm the commandant. Anyway, so...
I don't recall him mentioning it, and you know what? And I'm okay with that.
That's a great cameo, isn't it? That guy that works at the airport. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm the commandant. That's such a great little clip. Yeah, they're both smoking their... So it's Jimmy, he's here. So anyway, he was open about how he got the Mulan, and that was fine with that. And then talking about his vacations. Then the issue came up of he had a movie show that he pitched that he was going to do with Jim Amato. And then Jim Amato, he apparently, according to Paulie, didn't want to do it any longer and was hemming and hawing. And Paulie was not happy about that.
He did not see eye to eye.
Well, I don't know if it was a seeing eye to eye. It's just that Jim didn't want to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how did you come to speak to Jim Amato yesterday? Another fabulous listener of the Mike O'Mara.
So, rule of thumb for old Fantana over here, he doesn't like to get involved with something that he doesn't think is a problem. So, when Paulie came on, I thought.
You don't sweat the small stuff.
No. I don't sweat emotions of other people when I don't think they should be sweated.
Okay.
When Paulie Christine came on, and he was a hit, entertained, maybe a little over the top at times, I felt like the inkling of like, I hope someone's feelings don't get hurt, or you know, it just felt
so
like
so you concerned about Amato?
I was, because I've had a lot of interaction with Amato, and he is a creative butterfly.
Wonderful
butterfly at times, right? He just is.
Oh, see, he's a little sensitive.
At times. He can't.
See, I don't get that. Yeah. Thank you for, I don't see that.
But I also said to myself, he'll get this. Now, I perused the TMOS fan club because I tried to find out what Pony's not doing for his job all the time through the fan club. So I see
an episode of Columbo.
I see no problems with Pony's performance, but I see a problem with Pauly's performance from one side of our listenership, saying
there are people saying Pauly's stirring up crap.
Yeah, and how dare he or they or we allow Jim Amato's name be besmirched in the way it was?
But I don't think it really was.
No.
I agree with
that
you.
That was not my yes. read on it. And I certainly said and feel truly, blessed to have Jim Amato associated with this show.
I think you made that loud and clear, Mike. We're all in the room. But it all depends on when and how people are listening to the show, I think.
Yeah, I get it.
And I see a call not come in, I would say 3 or 4 hours after the show is published, and it's from Jim Amato. I ignore it on purpose because I don't want to deal with those emotions because I'm trying to run a business.
Decline.
And no, I don't. I just let it ring. I was in a meeting. Didn't want. I was like, I can't deal with this right now. I just can't do it. So then I see.
You're anticipating something?
I don't need a big talk. I have to give enough big talks to people about how they're special and how.
And you, but once again, you are anticipating perhaps a bit of an issue.
How about this?
Oh.
Thank you.
I didn't know it was a live recording.
I'm anticipating a pep talk that I didn't think was necessary. Right?
You're anticipating a pep talk from Jim Amato.
No, from me to Jim Amato.
And you were in no frame of mind to give that pep talk at that moment.
I wasn't in a giving mood, and I was like, this isn't going to go right.
All right.
Because you'll get two things. Sometimes you'll get compassion for me, and other times you'll get like, hey, man, get over it, move on.
But once again, let me reiterate, you are anticipating you will need to give him a pep talk because you think that he will be upset.
Now, I don't avoid it, I would say, for 6 months like Rob does, sending a record. I will give it roughly 24
hours.
I'm
glad you brought that up because that is very germane to this conversation. Remember this. Right.
Let things cool down. Less than 24 hours later, I text the man. I say, hey, man, I will call you this evening. Are you free? And he says, yes. I'm in the car. This week, Chad was down with the flu. So we're recording Bode on Thursday night. So I'm driving to Bode and I got a call, three people on my way there. My first call is to Jim Amato. I say, hey, Jim, before you get started. And he says, no, before you get started. And I'm like,
whoa.
I'm like, oh, this is the way.
You think he'd been drinking?
Well, I mean, Jim might be feeling like you're going to do exactly what you're doing. And I don't think that, I don't know. I don't know Jim well enough to know what he's going to do.
And I said, so at this point, I realized that I'm not going to be able to call the other two people because I feel like this is going to be a 30-minute conversation. So I take a big breath. I said, okay, what's up? And he goes, I want to let you know that this isn't the call that you think it's going to be. Which is
so he knows that you think that he is going to be complaining about it when he's not.
I know that he knows that you know.
Exactly.
And you know what, Jim Amato? Your emotional IQ is through the roof because you got me. You got me. You knew that I thought this was going to be some big, like, Jim Amato, it's all good. We love you. You know, you're one of our go-tos. You're not our back burner chick. Pauly Christine's just a hot girl right now. Like, move it. Like, this. I thought this was going to be this whole conversation.
But it wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't necessary. He wanted to clarify a few things. One, he wanted to let you guys know that it's all good, which I know it's all good.
Right.
I felt that way in the first place.
Good. Well, I'm glad he did that.
And then communication's key, Mike. And he also wanted to clarify that Rob's full of S because he told Rob about the music show a long time ago, and Rob alleged that he had not heard about it or known about it. You probably forgot. I said, Rob's probably just putting it on for the show. But did you forget or did you know?
I don't have any recollection of anything. Okay,
that's
in
how much Rob cares about you, Jim. And then I said, hey, Jim.
It's amazing how I keep coming up in this story that I have so little to do with.
Then I said, Jim, if you really got a show concept and you get it greenlit, just for, let's play this out. Why don't you just do that show and then do your other show?
I have to be honest.
Yeah.
As you're talking about this, I would be curious to hear what that might sound like. And especially, you know why? And once again, I got to give him props. based on the conversation with Paulie yesterday, where he wasn't doing that promo, Paulie, which is the
real guy,
where he's the real guy. And Jim, first of all, the two unique voices that we feature on so many promos here. I'd kind of like to see what they were up to, especially if they were talking about this. So what did old Mr. Amato
think
about
that? This is the way it went. It was they had Paulie and Amato had talked about doing the show. At that point, Jim had some free time in his life. And when the show got greenlit quickly, which, by the way, almost never happens in the history of this podcast or the show. Because you just gave it go ahead, try it. Let's see what happens. We'll listen to a pilot. He had been promoted at work into a management level position where he wasn't going to have the time to pursue that type of project.
Okay, I get that. That's it. A labor of love.
That's all it
was.
Probably
not going to make him any money.
And I said, look, if there's not a passion and you want to do a music show, and if there's ever time for that, pitch that. But the version we got was Amato changed his mind and he said no, and that was that.
Hmm. So did you leave it with him that if he ever changed his mind to go back and maybe try it?
I did.
My feeling would be I would much rather hear Amato do a movie show with Paulie if he is versed in the subject than a music show from Amato.
I did.
That's me. I mean, I don't know, Rob does a music show. He's kind of our music guy.
I said, pitch whatever you'd like, Jimmy. We're always open to it. And for me, I was like, lose this number. We should never talk again. We should never talk.
Okay. All right. Wow. That was lovely. So everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
There is no imminent production coming of Amato.
There is
Jim wants to do a show.
A treatment coming. There's a treatment coming.
And also Jim wants to do a show about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, that's an element we're missing. I look forward to that.
Yeah. You know?
That is an element we're missing.
God's comedy.
Ever since Gary Stein moved on. We will take a break and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. I'll tell you about where we're going down here in Southwest Florida. Some people call it Dodge City of Southwest Florida. We'll have that information when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, this is Jimmy Cerrito, the King of the Wings. My world-famous Buffalo Wings have been winning awards for years, just like the Mike O'Mara Show bonus show.
What?
Wings and bonus show comedy are the perfect combination when you're hungry for a laugh. I'm trying. Buy the bonus show, and you can feel like you own your own virtual brick in the bonus show beer garden.
Sure.
It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's real. And it's not terrible. And it's not looking bad for you. Buy the bonus show. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. Thank you, Jimmy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by FabFitFun.
Hey.
Sound the trumpets.
Do, do, do.
The FabFitFun Winter Box.
That was so good.
That was good. The FabFitFun Winter Box is on sale right now. Right now, the Winter Box, the perfect way to treat yourself or others with their amazing box of sensational products. FabFitFun takes the hassle out of shopping by doing it for you. Each box is customized to your interests and delivered right to your door. These boxes sell out fast, so sign up for yours today. Carla flips out when the FabFitFun box arrives. Uh-huh. It's like Christmas four times a year. She screams, she dances, and such laughter. Uh-huh. I love it too. Never have I felt such giddiness. I'm walking on air. Boy, the reverb's really working today, isn't it?
Yes. Do it real loud. I'm walking on air.
I'm walking on air.
Love it.
I almost feel like I've sold my house. FabFitFun, a sensational subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It retails for $49.99, but always has a value of over $200. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code TMOS to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Remember, go to FabFitFun.com and use the code TMOS to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Okay, so we are going tomorrow night. We are going out to an area we have not visited in Southwest Florida, to Cape Coral, Florida, which is a large, large, sprawling, residential area southwest of here.
How far?
It's on the water. It's a system of canals. A lot of people have
boats. Is it the Gulf?
It's closer to the Gulf than we are. And
how long of a drive from your house?
20 minutes. Oh, probably. So
almost just a couple neighborhoods over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really not that big a deal to get down there, and we've driven through it before, but we've never really dove in. We never really dove it to the fun that is Cape Coral.
Compare it to a neighborhood. I guess could you make the comparison for the DC area from your neighborhood to another to Cape Coral's neighborhood?
Yeah, I would really say that it probably. It probably is close to Woodbridge.
Okay.
Or really? Manassas. Fair.
Woodbridge will be coming up later in today's show. What an odd coincidence.
There's just a bit of, it seems to me that when I watch the local news, there's always something going on down there. And it's always something like, here's some surveillance video of these kids going through cars down in Cape Coral. Person hit by a car in Cape Coral. A murder occurred down in Cape Coral. It just seems to be a little different down there. And there is a bit of a vibe down there where it's a lot of, when Grease Man would spend all that time down in places like Port Tobacco, and hey, Grease, acting crazy now, aren't they? Yes, sirree. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see what happens.
Do you have friends there? Or are you going to?
We have friends.
Sample
the
nightlife.
We are going to be sampling the as much nightlife as we've got a babysitter at like 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So as much nightlife as we can. We just don't.
But
do
not
that
a destination
anymore.
You would go to on a regular basis.
No, but I'm curious because there's a lot of nightlife. They've got some different rules as far as places staying open later, and it seems like it's a little bit festive.
Like Manassas I go now for industrial park. Like if I need some chemicals or glass or anything like that, that's where I go to Manassas for.
That. Right. I think that it has a definite Manassas vibe to it.
Oh, nice.
It's like going home again.
If I could put Laurel and Manassas and Woodbridge in the one town, it might be. And then throw in some warm weather, and some palm trees and canals.
So I'm thinking, Mike, Laurel in July?
Let me see. I'm just clicking on the disappearance of a, let's see where it happened. Okay.
The ratio of, I would say, crime for that area compared to your area, you would say has 50% more crime or?
There's enough crime all over the area, but there just seem to be petty crime seems to. And
part of the way of life.
This place has been mentioned also on many lists of great places to retire. Which kind of shows you what if you like to be on the water, I think it's better than where I live.
In the old days, didn't most pirates retire to Cape Coral?
Yes, they're all descendants of pirates. That's exactly what it is, Rob. They're descendants. I was looking at the police report. That's
I always confuse Cape
much,
Coral with Cape Canaveral.
Different, right?
Yeah,
different.
Different type of launching or shooting up.
Don't know what to expect, but I will tell you, I am hoping that I will be. Let's just hope that I have an encounter with a Florida man.
Oh, okay.
I think it might happen.
Okay.
I think it might happen Saturday night, and I will come back
fingers
on Wednesday.
Fingers crossed, Mike.
I'm sorry, on Monday, and I will give you a full
update. Depending on the encounter, it might be Wednesday.
It might be Wednesday. Yeah. Hey, are you ready for Oscar's take?
Oscar's take.
We've got that coming up next as we are trying to catch up desperately. We will try desperately to entertain you. Sell my house! On the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
You asked and we listened. Now you can listen on Spotify. In our never-ending effort to make it easier for you to access our content, The Mike O'Mara Show can now be streamed on Spotify, just another platform that gives you full TMOS access. So go grab the show and listen and spread the word. The more you know, the more we grow. TMOS on Spotify. Grab it.
Hey, everybody. 2020 is going to be a sensational year. Gentlemen, we've got ourselves an impeachment. Sweet Jesus. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are back on the big screen, and those boys are badder than ever. Hello! House!
Hello!
November 5th is National Donut Day, so you'd better prepare for a whole lot of fun. Yeah, we're telling you about November and January.
We tease it. You got to get ready for Donut Day.
And as we continuously mention to you, the Summer Olympics hit Tokyo with 33 different sports, including the heart-pounding excitement of canoe. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Canoe.
Canoe who?
Can you come out and play with me?
Olympics in Tokyo.
2020 also marks the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer over 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. And Zappos does it with the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. No matter what it is, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. See you in Tokyo for the judo, the skateboarding,
ooh,
and the handball. Looking good, Olympians. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
looking good.
Without further ado, it's time for Oscar's Take!
Oscar's Take.
A review and comment on the news of the day, as only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its sponsors, or the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, without further ado, I give you Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, a new study looked at the most recognizable company logos in the U.S. Here are the 10 that almost everyone in America can identify. Number 10 is YouTube. Number 9 is Amazon. Number 8, Adidas. Or as my mom, God rest her soul, used to say, Adidas. Adidas. Number 7, Facebook. Number 6, Google. Number 5, Starbucks. Number 4, Nike. Number 3, Coca-Cola. Number 2, McDonald's. What do you think is number 1? And I'll give myself a little timpani to highlight that.
Okay.
What do you think?
Number 1 in my heart and in my family is Goya.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful.
No. I am terribly sorry.
White letters on a blue background.
Thank you.
Goya.
I'll give you another chance. The number one company logo in America that is the most recognizable.
In America. Ford.
Ford is, I'm sorry, incorrect. If your brother allows
Rob's
you to,
take.
It's his All take.
Right, two B's.
Westinghouse.
That is incorrect.
Circle bar W.
One more.
I'll give you a hint. You are the person who is the number one proponent of this company.
Oh, Bang Brothers.
You won. Pornhub.
It's Apple.
Oh, really? Of course.
It's that Apple. Little effing Apple.
That little guy.
Apple, yeah.
I have this effing obsession with logos. I love and hate them. I feel like if you have a good product, F the logo. Who cares? People right. will find your product. Because
mm-hmm.
there are designers out there that right now are there yelling at me and graphic artists that, like, what do you mean?
Yeah, just ruin my daughter's career before it starts.
But I'm telling you, there was a transition at one point where people were going to, like, flat logos that are clean and nice. And we've done this here at the show, Mike, at times.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a logo.
No, but we technically do with what our cover art.
We have the lettering. We have the lettering, but we don't have a
style.
A logo.
Yeah.
I would say that is our logo for the show.
I think we need a logo. I think we need a mascot and a logo.
Okay, but what
the mascot is a costumed thing.
I'll do it. No, not a.
Yeah, you will.
No, not like a sports, but a mascot.
People pay.
Not like the Geico Gecko.
Okay, but not like the guy from
Philadelphia.
That's
a mascot. That's not a logo. The logo would be
I just said mascot, but a logo too would be nice.
The Geico lettering. It's block lettering.
Yeah.
That's their logo. Our Mike O'Mara Show lettering.
Oh, that's our logo. Okay.
That's our
Mike
logo.
You know what's a great logo? General Electric.
GE's very nice.
Love that.
But I think that we need a mascot, not a logo. I think the Mike O'Mara Show works, but we need a cute little character.
I like
a
that.
A little character, yeah.
I like it. Like a Pokemon character.
Yeah, exactly. Something
I like
cute.
That. And then we could put Pony in the suit, and he'd have to wear it every day.
No, we've already said there's no suit.
What do you mean?
You said there was no suit.
No, it was just the mascot. You think immediately of games.
Right.
You know, ball games. Except, but you could have... No, you know what? I don't want to talk about this anymore. You're
Moving
listening on. To Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oscar's Take.
I got frustrated for no particular reason. Non-traditional living arrangements are more common than ever. Just ask
Amy Schumer.
Oh, she's nice.
She lives with her husband. their new baby boy, and an ex-boyfriend. His name is Kyle Dunnigan. He's a comedian and actor who also used to write for Amy's show, Inside Amy Schumer. He moved in about a month and a half ago to help Amy develop her new Hulu series, Love, Beth. And he says, quote, her apartment is beautiful. If you saw it, you'd stay. I'm sorry. This is weird. Here's the quote from the guy. I'm supposed to leave in 3 weeks, but I don't think I'm gonna. Surprisingly, it's totally cool with Amy's husband, Chris. Kyle says, quote, and here's his quote, we bro out. We play chess, and all the food is really good and free. Chris is a chef, so that's her husband.
Okay,
what's your take on this, Oscar?
My greatest fear, we've all been down this road. Whether I would imagine if you're a guy or girl, is introducing someone that you actually have some affection for as a friendship, but you have had. You slipped and fell into them at one point when you were hammered in Cancun by accident. And it was consensual, and you like maybe had some sort of a tryst or a relationship in the past. Mm-hmm. When you introduce that person in your life to the person that you have a serious relationship with or you are married, to a fault, I don't know a man or a woman that does not try to not share that with that person. Like it is, that does not allow for, oh, I used to date them maybe 3, 6, 7 years ago, where I think the person that's receiving that news, their radar doesn't go up with a red alert of like, oh, hold on a second.
Right.
So now I think if you're wealthy and more a successful and run the household bank account like Amy Schumer does in her mm-hmm. life, you can make the rules, and the setup that she has, in my personal opinion, is a setup that she can dictate because of the power dynamics in her relationship. She
That's
is
true.
Living every
I agree with you.
She's living
mm-hmm.
every man's dream
yeah.
to allow that to happen within their house, and the person that they have married have to be okay with it.
I'm inclined to agree. I bet he's dying inside.
Yes.
I bet he's dying
yes.
inside with
of course.
This.
Look. Yes.
Especially with, you know, who wants a guy that, you know, that used to date your wife in the house, especially when he says we bro out.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
means he's a scumbag.
I'm almost
term.
Done making yeah. the flan. Do you want to play chess now and bro out?
Because we're bro living out. Off the teat of your wife,
exactly.
you which
go.
I've seen before.
Yes.
There we go. We're you're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
According to a new survey, 1/3 of people say their commute is so tough.
How tough is it?
They get stressed out before work even starts. The survey also found the average person spends about 5 full days every year commuting. That's based on a total commute Oof. Time of 29 minutes a day. 29 minutes a day for 235 to 240 work days works out to 4.7 to 4.8 total days.
29 minutes, huh?
What?
That's tough.
78% of people say they worry about being late to work.
People ask me all the time why I don't sell or burn down my house. It's because mm-hmm. the commute is all that counts at this point in my life. That's it. The commute is all that counts. When Mike said, hey, guys, I'm moving to Florida. Oscar, figure it out. I said, well, I'm going to figure it out. All right. I'm going to figure it out as close as possible mm-hmm. to the house.
Rob,
or the condo I lived in.
Counterpoint from you, Rob, on this.
If I lived 600
commute,
yards from work, I'd get here an hour and a half before every show and dance. I'd love it. 29 minutes doesn't even get me to M Street yeah. from here.
Well, no, for no one, by right. the way. From That's Olney, true. It's like an hour and 10 minutes. And I remember that when I was staying with my parents, when something was happening with our house. I was like, why? Who? How? Ken? But that's the norm here. That's the norm.
It truly, truly is. And you know what? If I did not do this in the age of podcasting, I would be a murderer. Yeah. Because that's what gets me through the trip to and from every day. I've mm-hmm. got someone in the car with me that keeps me at a relatively
and
cool level.
Pony, of all people. Like you see him start to shake, not because of his medication, oh, but around 2 o'clock, he's awful. Like, oh my God, I can't, what's going to happen? Oh, easy patent. And I'm like,
it's really hard because once there's a lot of traffic, you can't bring your Kia Stinger up to speed.
This is true.
Oh, I want to. You know what? Apartment next week.
Okay.
Apartment and car.
All right.
All right.
Please.
Because it's been an interesting week for you're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Finally, Oscar, a South African man broke his own Guinness World Record by spending 67 days in a barrel atop a pole, and he's still going. This is his own record he broke. Vernon Kruger. Vernon Kruger from South Africa set the Guinness record in 1997 when he spent 67 days in a barrel at the top of a pole. He surpassed his own record this week atop an 80-foot pole in Dulstrom, South Africa. There we go. What do you think of this dude?
Okay,
I just felt like getting your take. It's not sex.
No, it's not sex, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating how if we can do one thing really, 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 really well, we stick to it. The idea that this guy's still the barrel guy on top of a pole.
Barrel guy!
Years barrel later.
1997, the last time.
With the advent of the internet, that right. He's going to take one more go at it. I want to say that that is the most fulfilled person that I know today. Because if being the barrel guy will get you through life, and make sure that you hit your apex, then I am in the wrong place. Because I'd rather be the barrel guy than all this other nonsense I'm trying to do, because that is something that's actually attainable.
Well, that was an inside look at his soul, wasn't it, today? Yeah. That was a fascinating Oscar's take.
Barrel guy.
Yeah. I'd rather be the barrel guy. Not what I was expecting.
Well, no, it's a simpleton's life.
It's a simpleton's life.
But do you know that the barrel guy, he only lives 28 minutes from his barrel?
I live down at the bottom of the barrel. It takes him 28 minutes to climb it.
That's right.
That's it. We got to take a break. When we come back, it's the last Audio Vault of the week with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
New decade, no more excuses, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
All this month on the Oh My Gov Show, we're showing you how to make your life better by doing something as simple as the dishes, to creating a battle plan that's in your face every single day. Remember, if you don't go after what you want, you'll never get it. And we know you want the Oh My Gov Show right now. Subscribe to the Oh My Gov Show on YouTube or Apple Podcasts.
She's heading to the Super Bowl. We should have her call in.
Oh, it's already set up. She'll be joining us next week.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
She is the hardest working woman in showbiz. And she will be down in Miami. What a great city. Those are my top picks when it comes to having a Super Bowl. New Orleans, Miami, and what was the other one? It was New Orleans and Miami.
Oh, what about Landover?
Tampa was not the Landover. No, thank you. Worst one, Minnesota.
Yes, cold.
Didn't like the California ones either, to be honest with you. But I'll tell you something. New Orleans first, Miami second. Absolutely great city to have a Super Bowl. This portion of the program brought to you by our bonus packages. This reminder, it's not too early to submit your application for the 2020 class of the Matty Masiello cheese cohort. Have you heard? The curd is the word. Cheese up to your knees. 2020 marks the fourth anniversary of this classic seminar, celebrating solid form curdled dairy, as taught by Maddie, the cheese queen. Sign up, provolone, or with a friend. All right. Learn to be a cheese whiz. Update, this year we'll meet at the abandoned grounds of Storybook Land. Storybook Land, the children's attraction. Located just off Route 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. Closed since 1981. Not creepy. Sign up and get the mayor's top secret French onion soup recipe. Find out why Maddie's three cheese blend actually has four cheeses in it. Learn how to melt the most heat-resistant Gruyere like a five-star son of a bitch. And learn how to save your fondue from becoming a fondant. You're such an ass. Students accepted before February 10th get a big novelty pencil imprinted with the famous Maddie catchphrase, while supplies last. Oh, he saved the best for Friday. Purchase the Brie Lux Jack Pack and come along on an exclusive field trip. You get 2 days and one night in Little Geneva, the quaint Falls Church neighborhood on the south side of Virginia's legendary cheese district. It's the region known for making all the best cheese with holes in it. Truly Swiss-tacular. All participants will also receive the Mike O'Mara bonus show, and you can get one, too. You can get that one, too.
Yeah.
What? Uh-huh. You can get one, too. All participants will also receive the Mike O'Mara bonus show, and you can get one, too. Just click the banner on our website, and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's your passport to the Asport. The TMOS bonus show. Grab it now and cheese the day. Wow. Storybook land.
Have you ever been to Little Geneva?
Little Geneva.
No, I actually went to Storybook Land when I was a kid. And what happened is when they opened King's Dominion, no one went to Storybook Land anymore.
Well, what was the story?
Storybook Land was like it was in Woodbridge. It was off Route 1. And they had like the man who lived in a crooked house. They had a crooked house. They had Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall. Now it's just like abandoned things. It's very creepy.
That's just Woodbridge.
Crooked houses. Crooked houses.
All right, let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak. Storybook Land, take it away.
Mike, it's abandoned. Sad to note the passing of newsman Jim Lehrer, who really was one of the last of the old school real journalists, I think.
And the Neil Lehrer report for years and years and years.
He did that show from 1975 to 2011. Think of that. Wow. 36 years on one show. But I like what he says here about himself.
Good evening. I'm Jim Lehrer. It was another heavy day of news on the Middle East. People often ask me if there are guidelines in our practice of what I like to call McNeil Lehrer journalism. Well, yes, there are. Do nothing I cannot defend. Assume there is at least one other side or version to every story. Assume the viewer is as smart and as caring and as good a person as I am. And finally, I am not in the entertainment business. And for the NewsHour, I'm Jim Lehrer. Thank you and good night.
Invite people to take a few notes from that statement. I think that's pretty solid.
For sure.
Spot
that
on.
Is concise and it's dead on. Absolutely.
How do you think he would cover the fact that we found out this week that Pete Buttigieg has a really strange laugh when he gets nervous, when he does a laugh line or an applause line that doesn't get laughter or applause?
No.
Listen to this.
So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Yes. Come on.
Almost crusty-like.
Exactly.
Almost good. Can we look to spread that hope, huh? Come on.
For a moment, it sounds like he was talking in your studio. Because yes, there was just thin echo.
Boy, I bet Pete Buttigieg could sell my house.
So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Yes. Come on.
The next president of the United States.
There you go, baby.
Mike, his name is Joe Exotic. And we have...
Oh, I did a dive on this.
Good, good.
I did a deep dive on this.
We've touched on this guy in the past. I don't know if you remember him, Oscar. He's the owner of a private zoo in Oklahoma, naturally. And his name is Joe Exotic. He was just sentenced to 22 years in jail for trying to hire a hitman to kill someone who criticized his zoo.
Oh, my God.
But he also...
An animal rights activist that criticized the zoo.
If your name is Joe Exotic, you're probably not really about animal rights. You're maybe more about the showmanship. He also tried to run for governor of Oklahoma as a libertarian in 2018. Let us go to one of his campaign videos. I think you'll enjoy. I'd vote for this guy.
This is video message number one of 333 videos that I'm going to be putting up over the next 11 months. I ain't cutting my hair. I ain't changing the way I dress. Earrings are staying. So you're going to hear some colorful over the next 11 months. And if you don't like it, you know where the stop button is. Through my years, I have tried some drugs. I ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Hell, I've done it all. I've had some of the kinkiest sex you can imagine. I've been to dirty stores, you name it.
That's right. Your choices for candidates are Joe Exotic or this man.
So can I look to you to spread that sense of hope to those that you know? Come on.
And we close. Mike, what I love is sometimes the setup of a joke is all you need. So just pay attention, if you would, to the setup of this joke.
A Chinese theme park is under fire for forcing a pig to bungee jump.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Now, there is a joke, and I'm going to give you the joke, but I wanted you to savor the setup, because sometimes the setup is that good.
A Chinese theme park is under fire for forcing a pig to bungee jump. When asked for a comment, the pig said, "Dude, be cool. They turn all my friends into corn dogs. I'm just trying to buy some time over here."
Your magic audio ball. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Pigs bungee jumping is always funny. Yeah. Join the big pig bungee jump this weekend at Storybook Land.
It's hosted by Joe Exotic.
Really, really special. We got to get out of here. Once again, thanks to all our wonderful listeners who helped my son out. That was very, very appreciated. And I know that the school appreciates, and the American Heart Association especially appreciates that. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, by the way, next week, all about Pony.
His
cars.
Yeah. Yes.
His homes.
Pound bone.
His relationships. And his job. We will do that when we come back next week on Monday.
Which
that
is more mean solid, the job or the relationships?
Oh, you know what? Who can say goodbye to the guy? Yeah. He's never, part of our family.
Mike, wasn't it Gloria Gaynor who said, never can say goodbye?
Never can say goodbye. It should be fascinating. And good luck with the cheese rally. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS Bonus Package. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
USA, greatest country in the world.
Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Get off my property or I'll call the cops on you.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.